Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I guess we hadn't. Did we know on Friday that Shaka was going to Marquette? Or did that happen after the show?
I think it happened. We found out at the end of the show, maybe 20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, like yeah, yeah, we did. We did it. Yeah, Lance wasn't here, but...
No.
That show, nobody really
cared. Well, no one in this room cares about that show.
You hear that show leaving now?
Yes. That's one of the reasons I don't care about the show, the lack of respect it has for this part of the show.
Shaka's going. It's probably Chris Beard, it looks like, but they're going to interview Royal Ivy.
Is someone Kevin Durant mentioned? I don't think his mention was the catalyst for it, but Royal Ivy's been an assistant for a while. I think he's been in the NBA as an assistant. I don't know exactly his resume. It was funny, as the Shaka stuff went down, everyone was talking about, no wonder he's an assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets, where Kevin Durant is playing. So there that is. When it came down that Shaka was gone, immediately the first thing, at least on Twitter, was need to go after Chris Beard. And, of course, every tech person that I saw responds like, that's not happening. Why would Chris Beard ever go to Texas? And, of course, he's the front runner.
Yeah.
So.
Why would Chris Beard ever go?
Okay. Yeah, so he wouldn't go there of the facilities and what we're building. And it turns out there's a clause in his contract that going to Texas makes the buyout less or something. I think I put on the rundown where it makes it easier for him to go to Texas. So, yes.
He had that clause in his contract?
Yeah, he would. Texas is an attractive place, and of course Chris Beard would consider it.
Why would you? Well, I guess if you wanted him bad enough, you would put that in the contract. But, if Texas Tech was desperate to get him.
Well, it's not.
He was a well-sought-after coach.
Let me correct it. The buyouts is not about Texas. It does drop. It drops by $1 million if he decides to go April 1st. So the clause means it's better for Texas to wait to make the hire, and we'll see how that goes that way. But the thought that he would never consider it is that's what every college fan base thinks. Our guy is loyal. We're a better program right now, so he would never go. We were just in a championship game. Stop it. Right. There is a hierarchy, and he would definitely consider it, whether he takes it or not. I think that might come down to, will Texas acquiesce and give him everything he wants? Because that becomes a thing where, look, I'm kind of the ruler of the roost here in this one place. Are you guys willing to do everything it takes to make us a winner?
Well, I mean, even still, how much easier is it to recruit to Texas?
It's definitely easier.
I mean, it's night and day.
It's just a question of whether he can be what he wants to be as opposed to maybe kind of having to adapt because he's at Texas.
Right. Krispy Kreme is catching it, Dell. Apparently, okay. So I'm getting my vaccine, my
Krispy
shot.
Krispy Kreme?
No, I'm getting my shot today, and I get free Krispy Kreme because of it.
So Krispy Kreme is tied in with the coronavirus vaccine?
Well, they say Krispy Kreme is offering free donuts to anyone who's been vaccinated. All you need is to have at least one of the two doses of Pfizer or Moderna or the single shot of Johnson & Johnson. And it's available at locations nationwide. And it goes until the end of 2021 without additional purpose. No purchase necessary.
You just get a donut.
Stephen Colbert, Krispy Kreme is offering free donuts to anyone who's been vaccinated, which is great news for anyone who got the shot but still has a death wish. Krispy Kreme is catching it because of obesity.
Well,
if you don't want to go to Krispy Kreme, don't go to Krispy Kreme.
Look, I'm all in favor of jokes. That's cool, but it's not Krispy Kreme's fault that people gorge themselves and don't do anything to mitigate it. Like, Krispy Kreme can sell a donut, or and then you could go run, and the donut doesn't have the same effect.
And what if skinny people want a donut?
Yeah, exactly. You could go get a donut and then go work out, and the donut doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's fine. Like, no one's making you go to Krispy Kreme. What? So, Krispy Kreme shouldn't run a business because their food will make people fat? No. People make themselves
fat.
Then
guess what? Then close every fast food place in the world.
I'm sure people would love it, but it's about personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Eat a donut, then go work it off if you so choose, or not.
Eat a D.
That's different.
What? Eat a donut?
No, that's not what you said.
That's what I just said.
You said eat a D. Because I said that to you before the show.
No, what did you say to me?
I said you could eat a whole bunch of D's, but it wasn't donuts I was talking about.
A little bit.
Because you came in here giving me the business about some nonsense.
You were a little aggressive yesterday morning on the show.
I wasn't aggressive yesterday morning. Yeah. I sat in here and did my job. You just, for whatever reason, were reviewing the tape from the stream and had some words.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, screw John.
It seemed like you were a little aggressive.
That's trying to work, and he's giving me the business.
You and Rachel and Lauren.
Rachel did the show from home.
I know, but it seemed like you were aggressive. Just you and Lauren in here by yourself?
Not in here. I was in this room, and she was in the room you're sitting in.
I don't know what happened.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you nothing happened.
I don't know what happened.
I'm telling you. Since you don't know, I'm telling you.
Okay. Just saying.
That's no, you're not saying anything.
And Jerome always does the show from home, huh?
Well, with COVID still being a thing, he's decided until that is...
Is it? Though?
I'm just giving you his explanation.
Is it, though?
This is his explanation. Nah, he doesn't trust his... I guess he doesn't trust his co-host. So, I'll wait. He said he'll wait. He'll come back in when things
Jerome
are safer.
Jerome ain't loyal.
Well, I mean, he does the show. He does a TV show with Lauren as well. But, look, I think they both have had COVID. Lauren and Rachel. At least Rachel has. He's like, nah, I'm staying home. Can't trust y'all. I'll do the show from home.
Astros are getting COVID-19 vaccine tonight.
That's good, considering didn't they have three guys who had to step away? And isn't Miles Straw one of them?
And here's the deal is, what if they get sick from it? I'm worried about being sick tomorrow. I might not be able to come in and be with you guys.
That's a real shame. They're getting the vaccine.
I know, me too.
And I was worried.
Sometimes
about,
it makes you sick.
I was just worried about maybe their arm's sore. They can't swing the bat or throw.
Well, they're getting it now. They don't have to play for until Thursday.
If you're a right-handed pitcher, you tell them get the shot in the left arm, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And reverse for the lefties.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Yeah, a lot of people complain that they can't even lift their arm.
Yeah, Stubbs, Toro, and Straw in quarantine because of COVID-19 protocols.
They're strongly encouraged. They're not. It's not a mandate. They're strongly encouraged.
I believe that's how all the teams will structure it. Hey, we'd like for you to do it, but we can't make you.
Yeah. No. That's the way it should be. That's the way no one should be forced to do it. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. Headlines this morning, the Rockets split with the Wolves. Thank God they fell apart in the fourth quarter on Friday night. Otherwise, if they would have won both those games... Goodness gracious. They were within a game, right? What are they, two games away from behind Minnesota now for the top spot in the worst as far as top spot? By top spot, I mean the worst spot, the lowest spot.
Worst record.
Yeah, worst record in the league. So now they blew it by winning on Saturday night.
That was a lock. After blowing that lead and against a bad basketball team, there's no way they're losing.
And then two and a half games. They're two and a half games now. They got to within a game and a half and then blew it and won. So they are now 13-32. And actually, they are 13-32. They actually are behind Detroit as well, who's 12-33.
Yeah, Detroit's on a four-game losing streak. The Rockets are on a one,
right.
And they won their game. And Orlando's still lurking at 15-31.
Right.
So, with two losses in a row. So, and that'll get longer, likely, because they traded any and all talent they had outside of Terrence Ross. So, Rockets still got a fight on their hands. But I'm glad they found the way to have one of the worst performances in fourth quarter history, not scoring a point the last 7-plus minutes. But they got it done. So, congratulations. Kevin Porter Jr. didn't play that one. He did play in the game on Saturday Kelly Olynyk, their new acquisition, played and shot the ball well. The problem is Kelly Olynyk is a competent NBA player. I don't think the Rockets really need that right now.
So to get the top four picks, you know, you still have, there's a 12% chance that you would get if you're right now, if you're one of the top three. It's 11.5 if you're in top four. I don't think that they can fall to five. I mean, Washington, what's Washington's record right now? Washington is 16-28. Actually, 16-28 is in fifth place. So I think, you know, we want them to finish the bottom three, but fourth isn't that, the odds aren't that much worse.
No, you are just looking to stay out of the going into the lottery as the fifth worst team. As the fifth,
yeah. I think they're solid. They're still solid right now.
Yeah, and Washington has at least one legit star player who can go for a 40-pluser and win a game by himself, and Bradley Beal. So you still always have that in the back, your back pocket, that Bradley Beal can have a night. And even Russ, as flawed as he is, can go for a 30-point night. So the Rockets don't have multiple guys like that. So you can feel pretty good. I mean, Kevin Porter playing ain't great. I mean, he went for 25 on 15 shots. I mean, we need to, like, keep him out of games. I mean, less Kevin Porter Jr., more DJ Augustine.
Right.
And even DJ played well. That's a problem. They acquired, like, two legitimate players. Like, Augustine and Olynyk can be rotation players on a playoff team. That's not great for the tank.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not good at all for the tank. You know, the tank is utmost importance. Yeah, the Rockets could finish as low as seventh, right? With the third overall worst record, they could still finish seventh, sixth, or fifth, mm-hmm. which is disastrous.
It's
disastrous. Minnesota, if they finish fourth or fifth, they lose their pick.
To the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
And they already had, the Warriors were bad last year, so they got James Wiseman. They get Minnesota's pick, and they can, who knows, maybe they package that for a trade to get a legitimate player, or take a Suggs, or maybe they like Mobley. I don't know. Whoever, but
wouldn't a Suggs be redundant?
Well, are they going to take a big man, or are they going to take a wing?
They got a big man last year. How's that working out?
He's okay. Yeah. Who knows what it'll be. So they're going to take, the thing is, the stars in this draft are wings or guards, and then you have Mobley thrown in, so going to be a bit of redundancy, unless you want to, if they can draft Cade Cunningham, that'll be your three, and then you have Clay and Steph as your one and the two, so we'll see.
1012 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we'll, Deshaun, the NFL player Darius Leonard weighed in on the Deshaun situation. We'll talk about that on the other side. In the meantime, right now more than ever, you can count on Texas Mattress Makers for your best night's sleep. Texas Mattress Makers keep their promise to give you handcrafted, custom-fitted mattresses while keeping their prices low for you and your family. Shop local and confidently online at TexasMattressMakers.com or visit one of their four showrooms in Katy, the Woodlands, East Downtown Houston, or Baybrook.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Darius Leonard put this out there. How did he put it out, Del? Was it on, I don't know if it was on.
I'll pull up the story. I thought it was a tweet, but I'll make sure.
It was a tweet? Say here. He said this. Darius Leonard said this. It's crazy that people bash Watson with no evidence, but nobody want to say anything about Chad Wheeler, who tried to kill his girlfriend. I'm just saying now, D. Watt got killed with no proof, but this guy who tried to put his girlfriend underground at ESPN or any other outlets was quiet. I think there's a bit of a difference here in that Chad Wheeler has been formally diagnosed as bipolar. He's got manic depression. He has mental health issues. I don't know if Deshaun is going to at any point claim any kind of sex addiction issues. It appears that he does have some kind of, because it's over and over and over the same serial type behavior,
mm-hmm.
allegedly.
There are a couple things. Like, I don't know what Darius Leonard's point is particularly. I mean, what he thinks is behind this, the difference in coverage, that would be for him to say. But the clear thing is, one of them is a star quarterback. The other is a backup offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference in coverage.
And from Seattle.
The other thing is, now, clearly what Chad Wheeler did, what he did to that woman, nearly killing her. In fact, I think there's something, I think she tells a story about where he was surprised she was still alive afterwards. So there's the physical violence of that is very striking. But if we're talking about coverage, Chad Wheeler, Deshaun Watson, who do you think they're going to talk about? And the other thing is, and maybe that's a wrong way to approach it, but that's how it is. The other thing is, I don't particularly agree with his assessment that Deshaun's getting killed. It's a story, but so far today, not one mention of it I've seen.
I thought they did show some Deshaun highlights, maybe just mention the 20th.
Yeah,
accuser.
But it's not.
No. It's not like this is not
every segment.
It's not even close to the coverage Deshaun got when he wanted to be traded.
No.
I mean, not even close.
So I am not sure what he's watching. Sure, he added ESPN, so he's talking about them. ESPN has not gone full in on Deshaun Watson. They've reported the news, and anytime something salacious comes out, they'll talk about it for a bit. But it ain't wall to wall, Deshaun this, Deshaun that.
Mm-mm.
So I even disagree with that statement.
Yeah, and it's I think it's apples and oranges. You know, first of all, one is violent behavior. The other one is,
in some cases, it could be violent.
Yeah,
if it's proven to be true.
I don't know. Violent is the word as much as forced.
Well, sexual violence, I think it would be considered. Depending, yeah. Force wasn't the term. We weren't told if he was physically violent or you just got with his physicality, or did he just was imposing because he's a quarterback and she's a woman and just the difference in size. I don't know how he coerced her, but it still would be probably considered sexual violence if as you don't like saying the word, the oral sex was forced.
Maybe not sexual violence as much as assault.
Well, if he forced
or coercion.
Well, if he forced oral sex on her, it would have to be determined how that was forced.
Yeah.
And then we can get into the semantics of it.
Right.
But it's different. It's Chad Wheeler versus Deshaun Watson. That I don't think it's any more simple than that.
Yeah.
One of them is a star. The other is a lineman not a lot of people knew existed until he did something awful.
Yeah. I think that's a, you know, I don't know. Is this a racial thing? Chad Wheeler's white. Is that what we're talking about here? He's an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and not a great one.
And nobody knows him.
Yeah, I think, look, some of it could be, some things are nefarious, some things are about race. I don't believe this is. Like, you don't use Chad Wheeler. You would have to pick, not that it's occurred, but you'd have to pick another star player who's white and say he didn't get the type of coverage that Deshaun has got.
How many people killed their wife and lover in a rage and didn't get OJ's coverage? OJ was a star.
OJ was famous.
Deshaun is a star.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to compare OJ and Deshaun. I'm just saying, as far as that's where you get the cover. And oh, by the way, you're right. It's not getting covered.
No, it's
not. Here. It's being covered. I don't know that nationally.
He added ESPN, and I would say I'm not here to defend ESPN, but I would say he's wrong. They're not covering it like
Mm-mm.
Deshaun needs to be castigated and ruined. They're covering it like, we'll see. sure, you get into the hypotheticals. If it's true, then this didn't happen. But there is, I haven't seen anyone say, oh, that dude's guilty. Ring him up. I just don't think he's, I don't think he's assessing the situation correctly.
Yeah. No. It's, I don't know. Darius Leonard had to put his, I guess I it might be a racial nature. I don't know. I don't know if that's what that's the, where he's leaning. I think it's a star nature.
Yeah.
If, and quite frankly, Deshaun is being, they're handling this at ESPN with kid gloves. Kid gloves. I mean, it's almost ridiculous. 17 game schedule mean anything to you?
No, I mean, I'm certainly not as pissed off about it as Alvin Kamara.
No.
Kamara is. I don't care.
No, apparently that one game, as opposed to the, I don't know, you know what, just sit out all the preseason then, Alvin. I don't know. You didn't even need a preseason. You know what? You don't need a preseason game. I mean, I think we proved that last year. You know what the preseason? You know what? NFL, take two preseason games away. Get two games and get one extra game in the regular season. And let's go. You know, guys can get ready with one game. You know what the college football team, you know what college football teams do? They play games with no preseason games. Games that count towards the national championship.
Yeah, Georgia and Clemson are going to play.
I mean,
early in the season.
Alabama always plays somebody. LSU will play somebody. I mean, those are games that mean something towards a national championship, and they do it remarkably without a preseason game. It's unbelievable, isn't it? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, last year, I mean, was the quality of play. Like, the NBA has gotten some heat this year for the quality of play, but they had a shortened preseason. I don't think the NFL caught it. I didn't notice a discernible difference between 2020, to start the year, in 2019.
No. I didn't know. I mean, the play, no. Good teams won and the bad teams didn't. That's what happened.
And I don't think quarterback play was worse.
The two best teams played in the Super Bowl.
And the quarterback play wasn't worse. I mean, from things I can judge, at least I can't judge offensive line play, but yeah, it looked like football that I've always seen. So preseason, beat it.
No, don't need preseason. I'm good with that. You know what? Play two.
Like the preseason is for players on the brink who can make a name for himself in the game. But as far as fans, I mean, it's football, so people get excited, but it doesn't mean anything as far as the regular season is concerned. Not in my eyes.
Mm-mm-mm. Did you watch any of that UCLA-Alabama game?
I did.
Last night?
I did. It was...
Did you think they should have fouled up three in the final seconds?
I think once they gave so much space to the initial passer to get it in, to initial receiver the pass to get in, I think they're in trouble. Because there was no one near him when he caught the ball. So if he gets a pass off to someone else, then you are in trouble because the shot is going up. I think they allowed... Once they did that, no, don't foul. But in theory, as far as how I would have handled it, I wouldn't have given him airspace, and I would have fouled him when he caught it.
But you know, and so many times we see, so those of you who don't know, up three, Alabama with 3 seconds left?
Somewhere around
3 seconds left, gets the inbounds, runs up the court, Alex Reese is wide open, just beyond the three-point line, and knocks it down, ties it up with 0.4 seconds left, and they go overtime. That usually means the death knell for the team that didn't foul and got the three-pointer mm-hmm. against them. And then UCLA, in this case.
Yeah.
UCLA scored the first 7 points overtime.
Yeah, they opened up with a good offense and made a three, and that probably was like, okay, still good. Because if Alabama had ripped off a couple, then it could have got ugly. But, yeah, they came out, hit a three, and then I think they either got some free throws and then a steal. But, yeah, they opened up scoring the first seven, and UCLA was kind of, okay, we're back in control. We should have ended this already, but we're good here. And they close it out.
Yeah, I like to foul. I like to foul.
I would have done it too. And Mick Cronin was asked about it, and he talked about, like, he thought Nate Oates, who's the coach of Alabama, had heard him tell his players that, which I don't know why that would have stopped him from doing it, but he kind of attributed the fact that the guy was locked in and listening for it not going down. And I was like, okay, sure.
Absolutely. He said, I'm a foul guy. Coach Oates saw me telling the guys to foul. So my biggest concern was when we went to foul, they were going to shoot a half court shot. Well, they didn't have the ability to fall.
Yeah, they weren't close enough.
They weren't close enough.
And the guy and the initial, like, if you, like, everyone knows the college rule, you don't advance on a timeout. So that this is a full court thing. The guy's back was turned to the basket, and the and college referees aren't as liberal as NBA referees with continuation. So as soon as he catches the ball, you could foul him, with particularly when his back turns. He's not just going to throw it up. The NBA college refs aren't going to give him that. You could have fouled
close
him.
Enough to foul.
Yeah, I'm saying, but he was concerned. But NBA, if they're throwing it at half court, you could foul him, and they weren't going to give him, oh, he heaved it up from there, and he gets three free throws. College referees don't do that.
Mick Cronin would have been devastated, though, had they lost that game in overtime. Devastated.
Yeah.
He would have caught it. No question.
Yeah, that's a team who struggled throughout the year and is on a run, and he would have that would have been seen as a coaching error if they wouldn't have pulled it out. But his team made big shots and some contested shots throughout that game, and I didn't see a lot of UCLA basketball this year, so I can't speak to why they weren't better as when they're playing in the 11 seed game as a play-in. But they have another Pac-10 buddy doing the same thing in Oregon State. Two teams who weren't great are on a run. And then USC,
I think, as well. Dude, I'm telling you, Gonzaga's looked unbelievable, but I think USC gives them a game. I don't think they beat Gonzaga. I think this is the test for Gonzaga.
It'll be the first one so far. They haven't been tested, really.
They have not been tested yet. They have not been tested. 713-780-3776. Got another segment before News of the Weird comes your way. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
JJ is none too pleased with you, Del. He's working at, I'm working at my old Bible quiz coach's house today. Radio is on the speaker, and you guys have said, bye, bitch. You had Lance did his banshee clapping, which is...
He did do that.
Yeah. And EAD. But EAD was eat a donut.
Correct.
Yeah. Eat a donut. Eat a D. Eat a donut. That's what that was. So I'm the only one that has Kuth on the show. So there's that.
JJ hasn't heard the show before?
No. JJ's actually been listening since... So 6-10 days.
So he doesn't know any better.
Early in the 6-10 days.
To not have this show around.
Yeah,
the
that's
public.
On you, JJ. It's not, having
it's not my
speaker.
Fault. Sorry.
Yeah.
Headphones.
You should know better than that, JJ. Okay?
And here's a taste.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa.
This is not directed at you, JJ. I'm just saying, you never know when that's when something questionable is going to get played, so don't have it on the speakers. Because you're putting yourself in jeopardy.
Yep. Yep. Any chance y'all trade for Deshaun? You want Deshaun?
See, some people thought it would take him off the list, but you added a first-round pick, and I don't think it happens before the draft, certainly. But you have multiple picks. Well, actually, no, I don't think you'd meet the Texans' price if you don't do something before this draft. You have one pick in 2022, and then two in 2023. It would have to be this gets resolved beforehand, and then you have picks to play with. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it. I think the Eagles could be a choice. I talked about it during the break. If the Jalen Hurts thing doesn't work out and this Deshaun thing gets squared away to the fact that he gets to play in 2022 or whenever he plays, the Eagles have three first-round picks potentially in 2022. They have the Dolphins, the Dolphins used to trade back up to six after dropping to 12th. They have their own. And if Carson Wentz stays healthy enough to play for the Colts to meet that standard, they'll have the Colts' first-round pick too. So if they're a team who has bad quarterback play this year, that's not very good, you could trade Hurts. You could trade your own pick, which will be great, the Dolphins pick and the Colts pick. That's three first rounders in one draft. You don't think the Texans would do that after a year of Deshaun possibly sitting?
I would do it right now. Do it now.
Now you don't. Yeah, if Carson Wentz plays and stays healthy, that's three picks. That would be a haul. But maybe you get an extra second someplace. So I think the Eagles are a prime spot if things don't go well this year for them.
Do it now. According to Charles Robinson, obviously the teams that appear out, 49ers are out, right? They're drafting.
Correct.
They're drafting a quarterback. He thinks the Bears are out with the Andy Dalton.
I don't think that precludes them.
Zach Wilson looks like he's going to be a Jet, apparently, according to everybody. He also thinks that the Broncos are out. They don't have the draft picks necessary. And if they get Deshaun, future draft picks probably won't be great. Attractive, right?
No.
So those teams are out. The Panthers seem to be in the mix still. The Dolphins, it doesn't seem very Dolphinish to
no.
do it.
And it would have to happen before what? April 20 something?
Yeah.
Deshaun's stuff isn't going to be cleared up.
Well, no. I mean, this is risky business. There's no question about that. Well, do you do it with the, if Deshaun doesn't play?
I don't think the Texans would want the Dolphins picks going forward because who knows if they're in the if the Dolphins are in the 20s.
They have San Francisco's who aren't going to probably going to be they, great too, right?
Well, if that San Francisco's good, that's another pick that's in the 20s, depending on if they can stay healthy and their quarterback situation's figured out. So the Dolphins, I feel like, are the least likely of those teams that he says are in it. Did he mention Philadelphia on his list?
He did not mention Philadelphia.
I think that's one.
Philadelphia
should be
is now at 12, and what else?
They're at 12. Well, I was really referring to, I don't think Deshaun gets traded before the draft. So I think this has become a 2022 proposition.
Not after the draft, but any draft picks that any team goes to Deshaun, the draft. Capital lessons. He's on that team.
No, I don't. Well, I'm under the impression that he doesn't leave the Texans before 2021 season begins. I think the commissioner makes him not play.
If he's going to be on the commissioner's list, and then he can't.
Yeah, I'm not under the impression that he's on another team in 2021. I think this becomes a thing where if it's not figured out that he's on the Texans, maybe doesn't play. And then if he's still so damn unhappy that he has to get traded, you look who has 2022 draft capital. I guess this article is still about getting him to another team before 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a rush that some team would jump in without knowing.
If a team jumps in, I'm rushing if I'm the Texans.
Oh, I'm not saying the Texans wouldn't do it. I'm saying for another team.
Out.
A team's going to trade for him and give up this from this draft before they know, they're not even going to know what the commissioner's going to say.
At 12, will Justin Fields or Trey Lance be available?
Oof. If a team likes one of those guys, you're going to let them fall to 12? If the other three are already gone in the top five?
If the other three are gone in the top five, do you see them going?
If it's Lawrence, Fields, Lawrence Wilson, and who else?
Mac Jones,
top three. I don't see both of them getting to 12.
You think somebody...
Well, see, the Justin Fields thing is weird. He seems like the Mac Jones, I would assume, would have been at 12 no matter what. But if the 49ers really like him and they want him at 3, Justin Fields is the one that would probably fall.
Justin Fields probably would. Well, who's going to take Trey Lance? I mean...
Would Carolina take a quarterback?
Yeah. They might take
would Justin. Detroit
might
wouldn't.
Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Or Trey Lance.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
there's 8. That's gone.
Yeah. And if a team likes the other one and think it's great value, I don't know what team needs it. Would the Steelers come up for a quarterback to have one?
Could well. Oh, there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback.
Yeah, but, so
right.
if there's a run on the top and they all go on the top three, it seems like it's very hard to imagine that the other two last the 12. Unless people just dislike Justin Fields so much that he drops.
How about NFL drafts with the top three picks being quarterbacks?
Has it happened?
I don't know. Has it happened?
We've had multiple, like in the, we had like four in the top 12 or so. Didn't the 2004 draft have Eli, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger all in that top?
Roethlisberger wasn't until 11th.
Yeah, it was top 12.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Top three quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3.
I don't remember it ever happening.
2020 draft, three quarterbacks selected in the top six for only the, in the top six, only third time ever. So that's.
So yeah. The Joey Harrington draft?
Yeah, first 3 weeks. The other two teams saw the quarterback selected with the first three picks, 1, 2, and 3. So it's happened twice. 71, Jim Plunkett, followed by Archie Manning. The trio rounded up by Oilers taking Dan Passerini. And then it happened in 99.
Achilles Tim Couch,
Donovan McNabb.
Oh, no.
And Achilles Smith.
Yeah, that's the draft. I mentioned the wrong Oregon quarterback. Joey Harrington was with the David Carr draft. It was two out of the top three. Julius Peppers went between
Julius
them.
Julius Peppers was second.
Yeah.
Right. So it's happened twice before, and 71 and 99.
And how did the 99 draft work out as far as quarterback play?
Oh, and McNabb was good.
And that was the one.
That was it. Plunkett, Manning, and Pastorini was pretty good.
Yeah. So if your team's this year, you're hoping for 71 and not 99.
Yeah. Yeah, not 99. That is going to happen. Two, three quarterbacks taking.
Yeah, the 49ers are. You don't move up for that unless you're taking.
Unless
quarterback.
The Jets are sitting and waiting and waiting.
Hoping for someone to.
Yeah.
Well, if the Jets are sitting and waiting, someone's coming up to draft the quarterback. So either way.
Yeah. And they're going to get a good haul.
Yeah, so it's either way, it's still going to be quarterbacks taken.
And you know what? I don't know that they don't sit and stay and grab a bunch of draft picks because they need a lot of stuff.
How far would the Jets be willing to go? Because if would they go past, if they want a pass catcher and they think, hey, let's give Sam Darnold every opportunity, you can't go too far. I mean, you want to be in that range right where the Dolphins are, and who needs a quarterback in that range? Like if you have your thoughts on Chase, Pitts, or Waddle or Smith, you probably don't want to fall out of top 10, even with quarterbacks going 3. You add Sewell to the mix, so that's 4 guys, and then you have to stay probably in the top 10. Well, maybe a corner gets drafted,
or maybe you hope that Carolina just loves Zach Wilson.
That's what I'm saying. You want to still stay within that 6, 7, 8 range, so you still fall in the pecking order behind the Dolphins, but as long as Atlanta takes maybe a defender like Sertan or the Bengals take Sewell, you still have your choice of the top pass catcher. You follow the top 10, there's a chance you don't get any of them if your thought is to help Sam Darnold. So I wonder what, it depends on what Carolina thinks of the quarterback. Because if they're all in on Deshaun and now they're not, maybe that's still their guy. Maybe they're like, you know what, we're not trading for a young quarterback. We believe that this Deshaun thing will work out, and that's the guy we'll target.
Maybe the Eagles just jump back up. I don't know. Why would they move down and then jump back up?
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Number 12 pick, number 123. So the Eagles got the
they swapped
12, the number 123.
And they got a first rounder in 2022. Yes.
Yeah.
And that they get the Dolphins pick. So now that's a team coming off of 10 wins. But if the Dolphins fall apart, it's obviously a good pick. And the Dolphins will have to hope the 49ers stink so they can pull the Texans and get a nice pick because of another team's misfortune.
Well, you hope that their first round pick next year isn't going to be much.
Yeah, each team, if you're the Dolphins, you hope they do draft a young quarterback, and because Garoppolo's ineffective, they play him and they stink. So that pick goes high, and if you're the Eagles, you hope the Dolphins fall apart.
Yep. All right, we're going to do News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird. Don't go anywhere.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is
The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Del, how much do you think the top paid lifeguard earns in California?
I'm going to go $55K.
$392,000.
Woo!
Lifeguard.
Is he the David Hasselhoff of that?
Others rake in more than $200,000 a year.
So that's why Mitch Buchanan can live in the place he did when I was watching Baywatch.
I don't.
Are these people who are on the beach, or are they like executives now? Like, can you sit in one of those, I don't know what they're called, I forgot, their stands, and actually go swim and save people and make that type of money? Or do you have to be like a boss?
I mean, yeah, your boss. The best paid lifeguard was acting chief lifeguard.
Oh, he doesn't actually
Fernando
save anyone
Boutois.
Anymore. He doesn't save anyone anymore then. He's just
a bureaucrat. He gets perks, salary, perks, benefits. Second place, Captain Daniel Douglas, who earned $368,000 base pay, overtime benefits, and other factors. Overall, 31 lifeguards in Los Angeles made between $50,000 and $131,000 in overtime over the course of the year. Wow. Wow. I want to be a lifeguard now. That's what I want to do. Except the whole swimming thing. Saving people.
I don't think this dude is actually running out there with that red whatever thing and saving people at those prices. Assistant chief, that doesn't sound like you're out there saving people anymore.
Yeah. No, you're just bossing people around.
I'm looking at him, and he is not a lifeguard, not an active lifeguard in the red shorts anymore. That's not his job. I'm looking at
Hasselhoff?
Yeah, I'm looking at Fernando Boutois.
What's he doing?
Images of him are
probably doing some blow or something that money.
That's ugly. He's wearing like his dress blues, and he's got the badge. Nah, he's not saving people anymore because he was part of the fire department and stuff. You can't. You're not shirtless running out there saving lives at those salaries.
Montgomery County, Maryland police have released the body camera footage from January 2020 in an incident between officers and a 5-year-old boy in which the 51-minute video officer can be seen. First of all, they spent 51 minutes with a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And secondly, screaming in the child's face, advocating for people to beat their children.
What?
Do you think cops should scream at a 5-year-old that they should be beaten?
No, but this is why, as much as you respect what police officers do, you also realize they're just real people. And look, you know some dopey real people in your life. And why would that exclude a dopey person from being a police officer? What are you doing? What? Look.
I mean, honestly,
the bag,
they handcuffed him, the kid. I mean,
the badge and uniform. Boy,
what does kid do?
Well, he probably talked back. I don't know. The badge and uniform doesn't exclude you, or at least some people, from being dopey. And that's a dopey thing to do. Screaming.
A white teacher is apparently in some trouble here. Montreal area school. A black man says a white teacher with a Montreal area school board interrupted his anti-racism presentation about the history of the N-word and then swore at him.
Did she use the N-word?
Why are you think it's a woman?
Or he, she, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think the first popped my mind.
Because white women, that's what they'll do?
No, that's not what I'm saying. That was the first gender that popped in my head.
Well, apparently this person said, yeah. But listen, do you think that white people should just stay out of this conversation?
Look, even if you don't want to actually hear it, silence is your best option. Because when you interject in the racism conversation, you're going to get labeled the racist. If you have a negative approach to it, just stay silent. It's easy. Look, I'm just talking about self-preservation. You want to keep your job? just sit through it. Look, you've been that teacher's probably been in a meeting they didn't appreciate, they didn't really want to be in, and just sat still while it went on. This is another opportunity not to say anything if you're trying to keep your job.
Yeah, and on top of it, swore at him. So
yeah, you're asking to get disciplined at a minimum.
U.S. intelligence, apparently this got out. I don't know how, but it got out. U.S. intelligence warns that withdrawal could lead to Afghanistan being controlled by Afghans. Do you think that's a problem?
That the Afghanis get to control their own country?
Yeah.
I mean, you know the deal, John. I've seen enough movies to know. As long as they're sympathetic to America's leanings, then they can have it. But if not...
Yeah, but don't you think we should just... We need to run it anyway.
Even though it's not our country?
Yeah.
Seems like not how it should go.
Well, that's what we think.
Well, yes. We need people there who are with us. And until that happens, we got to stay, apparently.
A leaked memo. Here's more leakage. We got more leakage here. And speaking of which, a leaked memo shows that Amazon executives know that delivery drivers urinate in bottles while they're driving. Do you think that your Amazon delivery now has urine on it?
Look, I'm actually getting an Amazon delivery today because I couldn't find it at a store, a Home Depot, so I had to get it delivered. I would imagine if they don't have wet wipes in there, that I'm sure if some particle hits their hand.
There's some leakage?
It's going to hit, that hand's going to get transferred. That leakage is going to get transferred from the hand to the box. Yeah, there's a real shot that today, if my delivery driver had to pee in a bottle, there's going to be some remnants on a box of mine. It's definitely possible.
Data suggests QAnon followers are more likely to be mentally ill. Do you think QAnon followers are mental?
Look, I only judge things by what I see on television. And anytime I've seen a conspiracy theorist kind of explained on TV by movies or film or television, they're always mentally ill. Like, there's always something wrong with them. Even if they're right about what their conspiracy theory is, they're always a little off. So, yes, I'm going to say they're all mentally ill just because TV has informed me that way.
Yeah.
I've never seen a conspiracy theorist on TV who wasn't mentally ill in some way, shape, or form. That's why I'm glad Frankie has gotten over it.
Well, yeah, me too. Yeah. Frankie was mentally ill. Now she's not anymore. Well, she was in college.
Who knows what
she was doing in college.
All those liberal professors teaching her stuff she shouldn't be learning.
Dal, good news. Georgia's governor signed Jim Crow voting bill, which is nice. Unfortunately.
Now, it's not called that, right? It's just what people are labeling it as because of what it will do. Like, you have to, I think you now have to show your ID for mail-in votes, I think. People can't feed you in line because that's what they're doing to keep people in line during the last election. Hey, don't leave. We'll make sure you're fed and so you'll be okay. None of that anymore because you know what's great? Making it harder for people to vote.
Right. It's making it harder for people to vote. He signed that. Guess where he signed it?
Where?
Well, right below a painting of a plantation.
Look, Georgia, even the state of Mississippi has changed their flag and gotten with the times. Maybe take it out of the governor's office. I'm not even saying change it.
Abe Lincoln or something.
I'm not saying change it. Just take it out. You don't.
You gotta have a painting there.
Do you?
Can't you put a nude up or something?
Hey, put up a painting of Kirby Smart. Don't you guys love him there?
A painting of Kirby Smart.
Something
that's what I don't want.
You're not in Georgia. You may not. They might feel a different way. Herschel Walker, maybe.
Herschel Walker. Now there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put that up there.
Everybody loves Herschel Walker in Georgia.
Put that there.
Okay.
As opposed to the plantation painting.
Even the racists love Herschel Walker there.
He ran the ball.
That's
really
right.
Well.
Back in the day, we used to run the football.
I mean, we don't want to hear from him when he's not talking about football.
All this highfalutin. You don't need no Justin Fields.
Yeah, just get a painting of all the great Georgia running backs. You can go from, clearly they don't want Justin Fields. Clearly beat it.
Chubb,
Michelle.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker. Put them all on there. Running the ball. That's what Georgia
does. That's what we do. 10:56. We're done. Charlie Polillo next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.